the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, the Bible has a lot of topics that it speaks about repeatedly, and obviously things like the Lord Jesus and salvation, the nation of Israel, prayer. But if there's one topic that the Bible really, really speaks about a lot, in fact, nearly 200 times, the Bible speaks about gratitude. Hi, Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper and Matthew White, and we're going to do a show today that, not surprisingly, is going to focus on Thanksgiving and that wonderful biblical subject of gratitude. Bert, Matthew, we've always got something to be thankful for, don't we?
We do, and I'm thankful for Matthew writing an article in The Stand for the month of November about Thanksgiving, and it's a good article. It's called Give Thanks. Matthew, did you have to work real hard to find things to be thankful for?
I did not. That was the article's actually adapted from a sermon that I preached last year, and as I began to prepare, you know, to preach, the Lord just kept, you know, flooding my mind with things that we have to be thankful for.
Well, if you haven't read the article, you can get The Stand, and it's a great article, and two pages and a good picture in it. Now, I like books with pictures. You know, they really add to the area there. But you did this, and it was a sermon outline. But I want to give the scriptures, and then I will go through this, and Matthew's going to lead us and give us the topics, and then we'll discuss that. But we want those of you who are hearing to hear this verse. It's in Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Thanks is for all things. The reason we can do that, Matthew, is because God does, He's able to take all things and work them for good to those that are called according to His purpose, isn't He?
Amen. He is. And understanding that He is the source of all things can change our perspective. And, you know, it's, in this day and time that we live, we're experiencing difficulties. There's trouble, you know, all around us, and we all go through various difficulties in life. But understanding that we can look to Him and be thankful in the midst of it is a very important concept for us as Christians. I think about what Paul said in Philippians 4, and most people know the verse where Paul said to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And that component of prayer, thankfulness within prayer, can often be overlooked, because when we're praying, most of the time it's because we're anxious, or it's because there's a need. It's supplication is involved. But Paul makes it very clear that thanksgiving is to be involved in that as well.
Alex, when you hear that, sometimes we just need to go back to the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I remember singing that as a kid, and after it was over, if the sermon wasn't too good, I would start listing the things that I was thankful for. It's quite a list, isn't it, Alex?
Well, it is. And, you know, the Bible does tell us to be thankful. In all things give thanks. In our prayer life, we pray, like Matthew, you mentioned, with thanksgiving. And God always has a reason for stuff. And when He tells us to do something, we can be sure there is a good reason, good purpose behind that. And I think about being grateful. Even secular psychology tells us that gratitude and thankfulness is one of the keys to being healthy on an emotional level. And of all things, guys, I was prepping for this and for some other shows in Berkeley University. And certainly Berkeley is not known for things that are conservative. And yet a recent study out of Berkeley talks overwhelmingly about gratitude being an antidote against stress and depression and feelings of hopelessness, things like that. And they're saying, you know, if you feel yourself getting in a dark place emotionally, becoming obsessive, be grateful. Count your blessings. Isn't that something? And the Bible told us all along that we've got a lot to be thankful for, and it's good for us to be intentional about delineating the things that we're grateful for.
Okay. God wants for our good, so he wants us to be thankful, Matthew.
Amen. He does. And it's amazing to kind of piggyback on what Brother Alex was just saying. It's amazing when given enough time, secular history, secular culture will always catch up to God's word.
Yes. Yeah.
Sooner or later.
It will catch up. Yeah.
It was a little late for George Washington to be bled to death before they found out life was in the blood that God knew. Yeah. Okay, that was uncalled for. But we are thankful. But this article, as I was reading, and I've read it three times to make sure, and I've underlined it and highlighted it, but you start out with God's presence.
Yes, to be thankful for his fatherly presence. What an amazing concept that is, that we can call God our Father. I mean, to think about that, because we know, you know, we study God's word and we know the attributes of God, all those, you know, the omnis, the omnipresence and the omnipotence and omniscience and all of these things. But to be able to call him Father, and then the fact that of all of the names we have for God and the ways we know him, that is probably the one way that we could relate to him, because we don't have those other attributes, but we can relate to him on a fatherly level, as you know, all of us have a father or being a father, we can relate to him in that way. And I mentioned that that one term that's used in the New Testament three times, Abba, Father. I mean, that brings it down to a level that we as humans can understand.
Alex, is Abba, could it be translated similar to daddy?
Yeah. And it's been preached on, you know, very often in recent years, but, you know, this was a common word in the Aramaic that means just a very close, intimate relationship between father and child. And I think that's important to remember, that God, Almighty God, the Lord of all, and if you're a born-again believer, Jesus Christ the Savior, but God wants to be intimate, close to us, that we just understand that we are in his care, in his hands, like a loving, faithful daddy. And that's why I know the people in Jesus' day would have been very surprised when, you know, Jesus prayed, Abba, Father, the Aramaic for daddy. But yet that's how close and how loving, how protective, and how knowledgeable God is about us, just like a father caring for their child. That's how the Lord cares for his children. He is the Abba in our life.
Well, my dad passed away several years ago, and we had a great relationship. But after he was gone, I missed that. I missed the telephone call that I'd get to talk with him. I'd miss going to his house or him coming to us. But with our Heavenly Father, Matthew, listen, he's there all the time. Amen.
And just what you're sharing shows the closeness and the intimacy that we can have with him. What you're sharing about your earthly father, that is the way we should approach our Heavenly Father. Obviously, there has to be respect and reverence, but the Hebrew writer makes it very clear that we can come before his throne with boldness and with assurance that we can come before him because we know that he loves us and he's listening to us.
Well, my dad said no to me quite a few times. What about our Heavenly Father?
Yeah, we might get a no occasionally from him as well.
Alex, I want to ask you, is no an answer?
No is an answer. And I've heard it said that God answers prayer in three ways: yes, no, or wait for something better. And I've got to tell you, there have been one or two things in my life that I prayed for fervently, and God resoundingly said no. And at the time, it frustrated me a little bit. Looking back in hindsight, I thank God for the closed doors, the times that he essentially said no, because something better definitely came along. Now, praying for somebody to get saved, or, you know, praying for somebody spiritual needs, I mean, the good news on those things, if you read John 15 and 16, if we pray according to God's will and God's word in Jesus' name, he will do it. But the two times that God has majorly said no to me, it wasn't really spiritual. I mean, it was, I had a plan for my life, and my goodness, I wanted it to come together.
I think you're hearing some amens, yeah. Along with oh me's. We've been there too.
We can relate to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm saying is, I see, retrospectively, looking back, I didn't know all the details. God did. And God was showing me love in saying no to something I was asking for.
Amen.
Amen.
And that brings us to the second part, praying. And Alex has made sure, and that's a great point, that for our spiritual growth and our desire for others, and the way we do, we want them to save them, but God doesn't force himself on anyone. But we pray, Lord, don't give up on them. Keep on convicting them. Mm-hmm. Keep on drawing them. Bring people into their life. But sometimes it's for provision, isn't it, Matthew,
Amen.
That we pray for?
Absolutely. And God's provision, I mean, I can testify in my own life especially, but it's just an astounding thing. You know, as you study Scripture, there are countless accounts of God providing for his people. He does so sometimes just in the right moment when in the nick of time. And we read those, but then, you know, we have personal testimonies, and I love hearing, you know, in church or amongst believers, I love to hear the testimonies of people where, you know, God showed up just in the nick of time against all odds. You know, there seemed to be no hope for the bill to get paid or the groceries to show up or whatever the case might have been. But God worked and God provided. And as believers, we are to be thankful for God's provision.
Alex and Matthew, I grew up in a church after I started going at 10 years old and saved at 12. But on Sunday nights, Brother Billy Langley, he's gone on to be of the Lord, was our pastor. But, man, he loved testimony time. And I remember as a teenager sitting there and listening to these older adults, you know, when they were 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, when you're a teenager. But even those that were senior adults, as they would testify of the provision of God. As a young boy, it gave iron to my spiritual blood, Alex. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know, listening to the adults that were, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, and, you know, I remember thinking, you know, I'll never be that old, but so I know what you're saying. But, you know, if there's one thing I've learned being around saints of God, many of whom have walked with the Lord for decades, you hear story after story of the faithfulness of the Lord.
Amen.
And we praise his name.
One of the lines in Matthew's article that he wrote in The Stand is this: his people, what they needed, and he gave it when they needed it.
Right.
What and when. We're praying that for you in your life, that what and when of God's provision. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Well, Welcome back to Exploring the Word, a special edition. Now I'm special in a way, but this may be a special, special edition. It is Thanksgiving, and we say thank you for listening. You may be in your car on your way somewhere or coming back from somewhere, or you may have had people to leave your house, and now you're all by yourself, and you turned on the radio, and you're listening to Exploring the Word, and we're thankful you are. And today, we have Matthew White, who is a pinch hitter for us when Alex and I cannot be there, and then Alex and myself, of course. But today, we're all three together talking about Thanksgiving, and this is from an article that was written in The Stand, the November edition, that Matthew wrote, and he's a writer there. It's usually two articles in each magazine, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's usually two articles per writer.
Okay, and this one is about give thanks, and I want to just share with you, it is good. And we were ending the last segment, guys, with God and His provision, exactly what His people and when they need it. Matthew, expand on what and when a little bit. Those are two pretty important words.
Yeah, that's right. The what and the when, in God's estimation or in His economy, is not always exactly like the what and the when for us. We think we need this thing or that thing, and then we think we need it now. We don't like to wait, but God's timetable is quite different than ours. But I think about what David said in Psalm 37 and verse 25, where he said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Now, I'm not sure if I can relate to the being old part yet. Now, Brother Bert,
he looked straight at me during that time, Alex. He did.
Although, I will say, you know, it's winter, and I'm growing my beard out, and someone did comment this morning that they're seeing a lot of gray there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know where I fall in the category of young or old, but I can relate to what David said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. And that relates to the what and the when. It may not always be in our timing, but God is going to provide for us in His timing and in His ways, and He will be faithful.
Well, what we're discussing is Thanksgiving and the things we're thankful for concerning what God has given. And we first talked about the relationship of Him being our Father, our Heavenly Father, and now the provision. And Alex, when we talk about this and we find out that that God doesn't treat us as strangers, He treats us as children. Now, again, in the Old Testament, you'll find out a stranger coming to your house. Yeah, you were to care for him in some ways, you know, and they would come by and provide. But when it was your children, it was not something that necessarily, it may have been a strain, but it's something you desire to do. So is our Heavenly Father anxious to provide the provisions that we're needed here in this life?
Oh, I think He is. I think God is anxious to provide, and not just our basic needs, but God blesses us abundantly with things,
amen.
Doesn't He? I mean, again, speaking of looking back over the journey of life, you know, I realize that God has just been so abundant with me and with my family. And I mean, just being on the radio with you guys and gathering around the microphone to, as we say down south, brag on Jesus. Isn't that giving
Amen.
Thanks and testimony? We want to brag on Jesus. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, God is so gracious. God is so abundant, and God is so, so good to us, isn't He?
Because of our undeservedness for salvation, even for everything else, I am thankful for His mercy and grace, Matthew.
Amen. Me too. And you know, later on in the article, and we'll discuss that, when I think about the forgiveness that He offers, I mean, of all the things to be thankful for, that is an amazing thing.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. That's the one that really blows me away. His forgiveness. Yes. And we'll get to that. But His mercy and grace is rich. Now, you quote a verse, Ephesians 2:19. It says, "We're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." We've been brought in, right?
We have. And that's, you know, I guess that's getting into the third point, thankful for His, you know, His family, the familial prescription, the family of God. I'm certainly thankful for the individual family unit. I mean, I have a beautiful wife. I have six kids. And so I'm thankful for the individual family unit. But
and finally, the sixth one was a girl.
Finally got a girl. That's right.
Now, Alex, I didn't know if you knew this, but Matthew, they have five boys, but this sixth one was a girl. He was stepping high when he came back after that birth, brother.
Amen. Congratulations. Amen.
But go ahead. I did interrupt, but we are thankful for that little girl, aren't we?
Absolutely. So thankful. But as I observe the family of God, you know, the body of Christ, I'm just always captivated by that and amazed by that, how, you know, a family unit, individual family unit is one thing, but then when you bring in all of these different families together, and so everybody comes from a different walk of life, they have different, you know, different giftings and blessings and things like that, and then the Lord brings all of that together, and of course we're likened to a body in Scripture, but the Lord brings all of those individual components together, and then that body, when it is unified in Christ the way that it should be, it's just an amazing thing to watch it work.
Alex, you do this, and I thank God that you do. You are continually reminding us, me, and those who listen to Exploring the Word, the importance of church. Mm. Man,
yeah,
we're talking about family, the bride of Christ.
The bride of Christ.
I mean, it is family, isn't it, Alex?
Well, it really is. It really is. And, you know, as we enter into this time, for me, it kind of flows together from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's. It is my favorite time of year. I love it. I really do, just for a lot of reasons. But you think about this. Thanksgiving and Christmas are both Christian holidays. They really are. I mean, Christmas, the birth of the Savior, but Thanksgiving, you know, is a uniquely American holiday going back to the Pilgrims, but it was born out of their Christianity. But I think two of the most wonderful biblical attributes in anybody's life, giving thanks and giving to others, that's Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, you know, let me just encourage you folks, church, you were speaking about the local church, Bert, and we're always telling people, be in church. Part of the reason I say that is because it's the truth. I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're supposed to be a part of a local church. Bert, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you guys feel free to disagree. But if you said, I'm a Christian, but I just don't go to church. I'm not part of a local gathering of worship and fellowship. I'm a Christian, but I'm not part of a church. I think the Apostle Paul would say, you're not a disciple.
Yeah, the difference.
I mean, really.
Yeah, the difference in being converted in discipleship. Now, I want to just tell you, this is the truth in my life. My dad and mom were out of church 10 years They moved from a place where my dad was one of the leaders in the church, and they moved to another one, and they had had church fusses and church splits, and my dad was just tired of that. And we moved, and for the first 10 years of my life, we were not in church. But yet, I saw a dad and a mom live godly lives. I saw them just demonstrate so much of the Christian life, but church wasn't a part of their life, but there was something missing during that time. The reason I bring that up, there may be some people out there that was like my dad. Yes, you're saved, but you may have been hurt. You may have had a bad experience. Do not let that keep you away from, if you have to find another church, praise the Lord, here in America, we usually have choices in that line. And so, Alex, to be a disciple, follower of Christ, Matthew, church is a vital part of that, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I agree with you. Find a church that teaches the Bible. Don't look for a perfect church. I think it was Spurgeon who said, you know, if you ever find a perfect church, please don't go because you'll ruin it. So you're not going to find a perfect church, but find one that's teaching God's word and get involved in it. And, you know, to Brother Alex's point, you know, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews makes it clear that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so I'm in full agreement with you guys. Being a part of that family of God is vital to your growth as a believer.
Okay, One more thing that you brought up is from Romans 8:17 about joint heirs with God. I have a hard time making sure I get that H in there, heirs of God. That's the English language for you, hard to difficulty, but we are. What does that mean, guys, joint heirs with him?
Yeah, that sort of blows my mind when I think about the implications of that. You know, so if I'm likening us being a part of the family of God, you know, a family oftentimes implies an inheritance. Well, we have an inheritance. Paul spoke about it. But that particular verse you're talking about, if we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, well, if we go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, we read there of Jesus that in these last days spoken to us by his Son, that is God, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, if he's heir of all things, and then we are joint heirs with him, well, what does that mean for us? I think it means we're joint heirs of all things with him.
What about that inheritance, Alex?
We're way better off than we knew we were, aren't we?
Well, have you seen that card? It says, you know, the pay that I get for being a Christian is not a lot, but my retirement's out of this world. Now, it is a blessing to be a follower of Christ here upon earth. But the inherit, let me see, is it going to be corruptible?
No, I think Peter addresses that. He says it's an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. So you can lose an earthly inheritance. You know, you can squander it, you can lose it, it can be stolen, but our eternal inheritance cannot be taken away. We cannot
lose it.
That's
good, isn't it, Alex?
And it says that inheritance, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Mm. Meaning it can't be taken away. It's guaranteed. That's 1 Peter 1:4. But all that we have in Christ, it is a guarantee. And that's why, yeah, we can be grateful. Even, you know, I know there are hard days, tough times come along. Every person in that journey of life is going to have some very hard days. But when we reflect on the things that can't be taken away, all the riches and reality that we have in Jesus, I mean, we all do have a lot to be grateful for, don't we, guys?
We really do. And one more thing, Jesus said, and I want to go to John 14, I go to prepare a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to tell you, he's been preparing for quite a while, guys. You know, Randy Alcorn wrote a book about heaven, and it was thick. It's the thickest book on heaven I've seen, you know. And he talked about what we know, and then he read into, because we know this, this is the reality or the possibility of what we experience. So I want to go back to what you said, Alex, and Matthew, I want you to come in. Reserved, that's pretty good. Reservation. I don't know if you guys ever had a reservation that a motel or whatever, and it was messed up. These reservations are not messed up. They're reserved for us, Matthew.
Oh, amen. And thank God that he is the one in charge of holding all that together. I mean, he sustains it. He's preparing it, and it's ready. It's ready and waiting.
So, Alex, let's go back and rehearse what we've talked about Thanksgiving. First, the fatherly and child relationship. What a treat that is. We also talked about the provision that's been made for us, not just here on earth, but what we have in heaven, and then to be a part of the family of God. Alex, again, we've got two more things to go, and we're going to cover those in the last segment. But that's enough to have Thanksgiving over, isn't it, brother? Already, we're
well,
not even through
really
yet.
It really is. It really is. And again, this is so healthy for us. Look, we can all get depressed. We can feel tempted. Christians, I really think backsliding, it begins in the heart. And one of the best ways to keep your heart on point, shall we say, is to try, I read this, but spend 5 minutes a day being intentional and telling God the things that you're thankful for. I mean, it might sound silly, but I'm glad that when I was rushing up to my office at Southside Baptist Church today to do the radio, I'm glad my car started, and I'm glad I didn't have a flat tire. You know,
that's a double thank you there, Alex. Flat tire,
it really is,
yeah.
And you know, the older I get, and I know Matthew, I'm older than you, but there will come a season of life when you really thank God for your health. You know, I'm 59 now, praise God, never really had any health issues at all, really. And guys, I got fellas I played baseball with and graduated high school with, some of whom have passed on, some of whom, I know guys 20 years younger than me that have had debilitating illnesses, and I thank God for my health. And so there's just a lot to be grateful for. And God is worthy of our intentional, regular praise and thanksgiving.
He is. And the scripture that we started with as we getting ready to close this second segment, we're going to come back and talk at least two more. It's this: giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On this Thanksgiving Day, sit down if you want to and start writing out the things you're thankful for. And I will tell you, I will quote a song. It will surprise you what Amen. The Lord has done. We'll be back with more right after this break. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain? All your words.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on this Thanksgiving edition. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. We're talking about gifts, and right before the break, we were going through Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, Bert, we were talking about the word peripateo, prepared in advance for us to do, and it's not that we intermittently, sometimes we are used by God and other times not. Really, the implication is that it's our lifestyle to be a tool in the hand of God, and God is using us in accord with our gifts and our strengths selflessly, consistently, for God's glory and the benefit of others. It's really to be who we are, and the wording there means to go full circuit, the complete distance. One day when we're leaving this world, we want to be able to look back and realize that we went the distance. We walked the path to the utmost degree possible. We went all the way with Jesus. That's what we're after, isn't it?
Amen. Paul say, I finished my course.
Right.
I finished that circuit. I've completed that race. And again, he talks about it being a race, and it's always a marathon. And you complete it. And that's what the whole idea. He who began a good work in you, according to Philippians 1:6, will complete it. Now, it is you working together with God. God doesn't come in after you're saved and him just do everything for you. It is a work together. You know, we agree with God and we walk with him to complete that circuit to demonstrate his workmanship in our lives. And that's the whole idea. We are his workmanship. It's a poem, but it also can be translated as a canvas or like a masterpiece. And God puts that in there. And, And it's an amazing thing how God adds all the colors. He adds all the right characteristics. He adds all the people into your life to complete this circuit that he has for you to run. So, Alex, he's gifted us. He's given us what we need in this present world to live godly. And part of it is using those gifts to complete the task, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, thirdly, we want you to know that every born-again person has one or more spiritual gifts. Okay, we've got natural gifts and spiritual gifts, and everybody has some area of giftedness. Now, the classic scriptures on spiritual gifts, and friend, if you're a Christian, you do have some spiritual gifts. You know, we see the preachers that's, you know, way out front, and maybe we tend to think that the majority of the giftedness resides in the life of the preacher. Mm. Not so. I mean, a preacher and a pastor and an evangelist, they have some gifts. But, you know, Bert, I think some of the most key gifts to the operation of the body of Christ might be people behind the scenes that this side of heaven don't get a lot of limelight. But my goodness, the work of the church would grind to a halt if they weren't there too.
Hallelujah. I believe when if there is a line in heaven and we're standing in line to get rewards, a bunch of us preachers who've had airtime on the radio, we're going to be standing behind some of those people that were prayer warriors, those people who were servants. They just had the gift of service and you know, showing mercy. So many of these spiritual gifts that they had, and everyone, like you said, Alex, every believer has received a spiritual gift. And yes, Everybody says, well, how do I know what it is? Let me share with you. Just start serving. Start serving, and it will appear. You will find it out. Like you said, it will be that you do with excellence. You'll do it with effortlessly, maybe a little bit of a strong word, but it brings you satisfaction and you find pleasure in it, and it's easier for you to do that. Like for me, there are certain things in the ministry when it came to administration, Alex, as a pastor, I had to do it. I did not do it effortlessly. I did it with much prayer and difficulty. But when it came time to preach or teach the Word of God, it was, okay, here I am. I'm set free. There's more freedom in the giftedness that God gives you than those things you have to do in order to do your job. And
sure,
So that's the whole idea. And you're exactly right that this person that has this spiritual gift, it really helps shape them in how they do all the natural gifts and abilities that they have as well.
And the classic passages, if you want to study on this more, and I would encourage you to do so, one would be Romans 12, and the other would be 1 Corinthians 12 to learn more about spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Number four, God blesses individuals with areas of giftedness to be a blessing. Isn't that something?
You mean it's not for me, it's for others?
That's right. It's never that, you know, and you know, we've all had our spiritual heroes. I could guarantee that Billy Graham never sat back and thought to himself, wow, I am a really great evangelist. Of course not. In fact, I read interviews where he would always express kind of astonishment that God could have used him, you know. And some of the most gifted people that I've ever been privileged to sit under their ministry were people that were very, very humble because they knew God had endowed them or entrusted them with some giftedness so they could be a blessing. And, you know, like Matthew 5:16 says, so that they would glorify the Father in heaven. I mean, don't you think our gifts and our strengths are always, sure, to bless people, to point people to Christ, but ultimately to bring glory and honor to the Lord.
Amen, Alex. That's our whole purpose. If you know, when I was a teenager, I was always seeking, what's your will for my life? And that was good. But after I discovered God's purpose for me is to glorify the Lord, live my life in such a way of serving others, then the will of God was revealed. It's more like a revelation than it is a discovery. Let me share that with you. As you walk with the Lord, serving Him, the will of God, the spiritual gifts, will be revealed to you. They're already there. and they will be revealed. As you get closer to Him and as you serve other people, that revelation will come apart in your life. Yes, I have the gift of this. Yes, God has given me ability to share this. And then, Alex, what He will do on the way is He will give you the opportunity to use it for God's glory. Amen. And that's the whole idea. I never forget, and I know I've shared this story before, but they were honoring Corrie ten Boom after they had made the movie. The Billy Graham Association is who I'm talking about. They were honoring Corrie ten Boom after they had made the movie The Hiding Place. And they did one and brought people in that were in her lives, that their lives was changed. And at the end, they gave her a whole bunch of roses. And as Cliff Barris gave those to Corrie ten Boom, she just held them up to the Lord. And you could tell it was unscripted. And Cliff said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm giving the glory back to God." And that is the whole idea in our lives. God doesn't share His glory. He shared His Son. He shared His gifts. He shared all of that, but He doesn't share the glory that He deserves. And so we just pass it on. We are a channel of blessing. We are a channel of glory to Him. And so that verse that you quoted there in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify the Father." Look at you, not glorify you, and not saying what a good job you're doing. And that's pretty hard for some of us that like to be people pleasers. You know, we like to know, okay, yeah, they like it. But the ultimate glory goes back to God.
Amen. Okay, the fifth thing we want you to know on this Thanksgiving Day, God views every person as a steward of their gifts. And as such, we're accountable. I mean, we don't own ourselves. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 talks about that, you know, we're stewards, and we're not owners, but we're managers, and it's required of a steward that they be found faithful. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. You know, our gifts and abilities. And there might be some of you listening, and I want you to think about how you are stewarding those strengths and those aptitudes that God has entrusted to you. And I want to say this, I believe the hierarchy of responsibility goes this way: our heart, our home, our church. Okay? Number one is to cultivate a close, intimate, daily, I would say hourly, relationship with the Lord. So our heart, then our family. We serve our families, but then we serve the local church. Bert, is it fair to say that the first primary ministry context in which we invest our gifts is in our local church?
Amen, Alex. And what a blessing it is God gave that. Now, I want to take this back to the New Testament just for a moment and combine this home and church. Where did most of the churches meet, if not all of them, in those early days of the church? Where did they meet?
Well, I've read the phrase house churches.
House churches. They were met in the homes. So what they did, you had a combination here of you who, and I'm using your three, and I agree with you completely, heart, home, church, in your life that God has changed you, that's in a home with fellowship with the body of Christ. All combine that. Now, although we're not meeting in homes all the time, we've built buildings that the church meet in. The goal is still the same. You see what I'm getting to? It is me going there. You don't get it by not going. You've got to go. He's invested time in you, in your life, and you've invested in Him. You carry that with your family, no matter what, how big your family may be. Maybe you just right now. Maybe a husband and wife, or it may be a bunch of children. But you have those, and you're invested in the church and sharing it. And Alex, you had one word here, we're accountable. That accountability really comes to true when you combine those three areas, don't they?
Well, excuse me. In the 1600s, there was a British poet, Ben Jonson, talking about the way the Lord gifts us. He said, "Spend not His gifts in vain." Friend, don't waste your gift, because the final thought we want to give you is this. And I believe this, Bert, I believe it with all my heart, that you will never be fulfilled, really, really fulfilled, until you discover your gifts and operate within them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Find that thing God put you here to do, my dear friend. And it begins heart, home, and church. your walk with the Lord, your service to your loved ones, and I'm assuming that you're doing right by your family in all areas, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. Do right by your family and your marriage, please. But then in the church, and let me just say this too, Bert, every now and then people will, they'll say, Alex, I want to travel with you because if I could travel with you, I would be witnessing for Christ. And we've had people travel with us and we love it, and who knows, maybe we can do that someday. But serve where you are, bloom where you're planted, because if you're not being a witness for Christ in your community, there's no real reason you would suddenly become emboldened out there on the road with us. Although, you know, we love to have interns and mission trips and we do that. But you're not ever going to really be fulfilled until you know your gifts, you've given them back to Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're serving beginning where you are. Am I right, Bert?
You are exactly right. And God may give you a passion for a ministry, a place, a group. I saw this operating when my son Nathan, who I do exploring the missions with, was in Georgia. And he was there in the Atlanta area. And there's a community there that has over 100 nationalities within that square mile where refugees have come and settled as they're being brought into the American culture, and churches are there. And they would have people who felt called to go to a specific group of people or a specific country. And they would come there and they would put them to work with those people who had already come to America because they still had the language, they had many of their customs, they still had so many things. And they could look and see and serve while they were preparing to go to that other place that God had put on their heart to go. But you bloom where you are. And if you're not doing it there, I doubt if you'll do it wherever you're going. Alex, God placed you where you are right now to grow, and He might want you to go somewhere else later on. But where you are right now is where He desires you to grow. And I think that is so great that the Holy Spirit of God will move in your heart, not only for power, but let me say this, for direction. Do you remember when Paul was on his second missionary journey and he was going to go further north and it said the Spirit hindered him? Well, He thought it was for a moment, so he tried again to go further north and it said the Holy Spirit would not permit him. And then that night, guess what he heard? The Macedonian call that says, come over here. So he left Asia and went into Europe. What a calling that was. But it was power and direction. Isn't that part of God's giftedness?
Well, it is. And I think there's sort of an unfolding of God's leading in our life. I guess maybe one of the most frequent questions we get from listeners is, how may I know God's will for my life? And I think it kind of happens incrementally. If you're faithful with A, God will lead you to B. And if you're thoroughly faithful with B, God eventually is going to lead you to C and D. So here's the thing. Find that place where you're in step with the Lord and give Jesus your life and gratefully present yourself to be used, and He will use you.
You never get apart from living or giftedness of serving than this. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Holy Spirit of God just fill your sails as you surrender to Him and hold your life up. And that the Holy Spirit will empower you. He will enhance your life and He will direct you. Alex, happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone listening. And we thank God for the American Family Radio Network.
Have a great day today as we celebrate what God has done for us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.